Don't be left in the dark. Get proper understanding of life through the Word of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The Word of God is an illumination which gives direction. Remain blessed as Reverend Osfawenu illuminates your mind with the Word of God, with all simplicity and clarity.
The topic being considered is still the light of destiny fulfillment. We were so helped of the Holy Spirit last week. There's this big emphasis about the synergetic role of salvation and revelation. That by salvation, our spiritual blindness is taken away. We receive sight. And by revelation, we receive light to run our lives. I pray that as we go again to study further, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, we are going to kickstart from the teachings of Apostle Paul on living the good life in Christ. Living the good life in Christ. You see, salvation and revelation combine to make the Christian life an exciting life. So, both salvation and revelation, the two of them combine to make our Christian life an exciting life. In the sense that we are empowered to be able to live first the godly life, and not just the godly life, but also the goodly life. So, Apostle Paul's teaching on the light of living the good life in Christ will be the starting point today, and then we eventually zero it to personal destiny fulfillment. We will go as much as the Holy Spirit will lead us, and then we'll continue consequently in other weeks. Now, the anchor text for focus this morning is Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, the epistle of Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, the believers in Ephesus. Now, before we read the scripture, let me draw our attention to this. And I think it should interest you to know that Apostle Paul in that epistle was addressing believers. These were people that were already translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So he wasn't addressing unbelievers in chapter 1 that we are going to examine. But you will still notice that his chief prayer for them was spiritual enlightenment. Hello? Remember, we differentiate last week between spiritual blindness and walking in darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. So, it will interest you as we read from Ephesians chapter 1 that Apostle Paul was not addressing infielders. He was not addressing pagans. He was not addressing stark sinners who have not come to the light of salvation. He was addressing believers. Yet, his chief prayer in that text of the gospel is spiritual enlightenment. Okay, and he anchored that on the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, indicating to us that the fact that you are a saved soul, okay, does not mean you already have everything that it takes to undertake the journey of faith. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is why we emphasized it very strongly last week, that by salvation you receive sight. So spiritual blindness is taken away. But then you need revelation as light to undertake the journey. So, the entire chapter 1 of the book of Ephesus is instructive. But let us take the reading from verse 1. Then we're going to jump to verse 15. And then we're going to read up to the last verse of that chapter. From verse 1, where we have the description of the audience being addressed by Apostle Paul. One good, unique thing about the writings of Apostle Paul is that he will never leave you in doubt of his audience. Are we together? So you'll be able to know who is writing to who is writing. In fact, sometimes he will even tell you his companions, the associates that were with him when he is writing. In verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. So, church, let's do it together. Who is writing here? Who is he writing to? Saints. Who are the people we refer to as saints? Believers. So, not infidels. He said, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful. Who do we refer to as faithful? Believers. What kind of believers? Genuine believers. Those that you can't put in the category of compromisers. Those that you can beat yourself and say, genuinely, these ones are saved. Praise the name of the Lord. These are not hypocrites. These are not people who double deal. These are not doubters. These are people that can be dependent upon, faithful. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. They are not outside Christ. They are in Christ. Now, verse 15. Let's jump there. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now, these were believers that people near them can testify about that they were genuine. Then people far away, okay, also had their testimony, and they can also testify that what we heard about you were true. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Hello, you know there are some brothers. Okay, you see how they are doing wonderfully when the Lord says, we thank God for the life of Brother Jonathan. We thank God for the life of Sister Blessing. So, Apostle Paul heard about what they were doing, how they were faring well in faith, and the first response that came out of him spontaneously in the Holy Ghost was to say, I thank God for you. So, every time he goes to the place of prayer, he can always thank God that the gospel is finding place in the heart of men. Are we together? In a generation, in a city where unbelievers were cumbering the land, he found some people who were faithful. And every time he goes to the place of prayer, one of the thanksgiving he gives to God is that in spite of the hardship, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the resistance to the gospel, these people have received the message of salvation. I thank God for you. Then he went further and said, he did not only stop at that. He discovered that there's a need for them to still move forward. So he now made what is next most important for them to have, a prayer point. Are we together? He said, making mention of you in my prayers. Now verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Jesus Christ they already received, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Are we together? So their salvation was not in doubt. The testimony of their salvation was everywhere. But yet, there is still a matter that remained a prayer point of Apostle Paul. And what is that prayer? Is that the Father of glory may give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, not the eyes of understanding being open. It has already been open. Okay? But it needs to be what? Further enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. So, it's possible that you get saved and you think all that is available in Christ is salvation and nothing more. Are we together? It now says that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us all who believe. So there's an exceeding greatness of God's power that we must experience. And I pray as you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you begin to experience that in the name of Jesus. Exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. So it takes revelation, okay, to overcome, to overpower, to have victory over principalities and power. Then another level of revelation to be a partaker of the glory of the power that is to come. Are we together? And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So, Jesus became the head over everything. For whose benefit? The church benefit. So, how much of those things that Jesus has power over have you benefited? Are you with me, church? Which is his body? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, this means that it's possible that a man has the first light that brings salvation, and that same man continues to still grope in darkness in other essential areas of the knowledge of God that can make one to fully enjoy the blessings of Christ, including the critical area of personal destiny fulfillment. Because if that were not possible, the prayer for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that Apostle Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus will not be necessary. He would have said, since they are saved, let's leave them. They have got everything. Tell somebody, you have not got everything. Are we together? Now, we do a kind of corollary between our experience of salvation and what God did at creation last week, where we mentioned that he created two kinds of lights, two kinds of great lights. The greater light, which is the sun, to rule in the day, and the lesser light, which is the moon, to rule in the night. So we're still going to continue in that spirit. So you may therefore, in this context, wish to notice or take note that just as in spite of the moon being the lesser light, yet it is the one that is useful to govern the darkness of the night. Hello. Now, I told you last week that salvation is critical. Salvation is major. Salvation can be likened to the greater light, which you cannot boycott. Are we together? Just the same way God created the sun, which was the greater light. But in spite of the fact that the sun is the greater light, It is not the light of the sun that handles the darkness of the night. What is the light that handles the darkness of the night? The moon. Are we together? The moon. So, in the same way, the greater light of salvation is important. In fact, most important. Because what shall it profit a man that gains the whole world and lose his soul? So, you still need a revelation. Are we together? Which is possible you want to consider it not as important as the light. I mean, as the sun. Not as important as salvation. Are we together? But then, as we read from verse 21, maybe take it from verse 20, he said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet, and so on and so forth. Which therefore means that yes, you are saved. Yes, you have salvation. But for you to be able to still exercise your dominion over principalities and power, okay, you need the revelation of the knowledge of Christ in that dimension. Are we together? So it means you can therefore have a saved person who is living in ignorance of his dominion over the powers of darkness, still being tormented by the powers of darkness. Loruko Jesu, you will receive the light that will bring you to total dominion over every forces of darkness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So just like you have the sun in the day and is considered the greater light, but it doesn't have the responsibility to handle the darkness of the night. It is the moon that is considered as the lesser light that handles the darkness of the night. So in the same way, your salvation, okay, has handled the critical aspect of eternal life. It has guaranteed your eternal life. But before you will enter eternity, okay, there are issues you need to deal with. You must have revelation on how to deal with them. Like the moon, including dealing with forces and powers of darkness that occupy or that operate wherever. Praise the name of the Lord. So, note that just as, in spite of that, the moon being the lesser light is the one that is useful to govern the darkness of the night, in the same manner, the light of spiritual enlightenment is required to tame the powers of darkness. So, when we talk about the genuine manifestation of the power of God, it is tied to revelation received from the Word of God. Genuine manifestation of the power of God is tied to the revelation received from the Word of God. So you can't boycott the Word of God to access genuine power for signs and wonders. So you can't boycott revelation from the Word of God to access genuine power for signs and wonder. So just as God is the source of the two physical lights, similarly, like we said last week, the Word of God is the source of the two spiritual kinds of light. And what are the two spiritual kinds of light? The light of salvation. And the second one is what? The light of revelation. But our focus here today is the light of destiny fulfillment. What do I call it? So, let's consider Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. The scripture says, arise, Stay. Stop. Answer me, church. Arise what? Shine, not stay. Not stop. It's arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So, the emphasis here is the light that has come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. For thy light has come. I pray the light that you will find, I will make you to know what is next to do to fulfill your destiny, to put your feet in the path of fulfilling your purpose in the eternal plan of God. May that light come for you. May that light shine for you. Listen to me. You are helpless. There's not much you can do. There's not much you can accomplish in life except your light come. Say, Lord, send my light. Say, Lord, send my light. He said, arise, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So, the emphasis here is that the light that has come. In fact, a personified light. Now, here, the scripture speaks about your light. It speaks about your light, not their light. Hello? The problem with many of you is that you are operating your destiny with other men's light. You are living by other men's revelation. So, and that is why when you do copy, it will work for the person you copy, but it's not working for you. Are we together? So, the scripture here speaks about your light, not their light. In fact, not our light. Now, look at the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. All of the 10 virgins have their lamps, and all of them have their own oil. For how long will you continue to depend on the anointing of your general overseer? Hello? For how long will you continue to depend on the lamp of your pastor? When will you begin to operate by your own lamp and have your own sufficient oil? I pray in the name of Jesus, you will come to a mature understanding of this matter. Amen. You will operate by your light. And your lamp will not run out of oil. Amen. Look at the five foolish ones that lost out. Why did they lost out? They lost out on the ground that their oil got finished. Are we together? And then they went to the other five who had extra and said, give us out of oil. This one said, no, we won't give you. This matter is a personal matter. So when we talk about the light of salvation that gives sight, it is a common light. When I say common, I'm not saying ordinary. When I say common, I'm saying it is available to all. Paul wrote in Titus, the light that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So, the light of salvation is a common light. It is common to all. Hello? There is no age grade to it. There is no racial discrimination about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For as many as believe in him, he gave them power to be called the sons of God. So it is universally available. There is no gender discrimination to the common light of salvation. There's no variation in its measure to individual from generation to generation. Hello, I don't have a salvation that is of a higher quality than your own. Are we together? Apostle Paul did not have a salvation qualification that is higher than the believer that just believed today. So there is no variation in its measure to individual from generation to generation. So there is no difference in the quality of salvation that individuals received. Now, where does the difference now come? What is it that separates the men from the boys? What is it that separates the mature from the babes? Okay? What separates the mature from the babe is revelation. Are we together? So, the gap between me, okay, and Baba Adeboye is revelation. And grace. Are we together? And I'm praying, Oh Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I can also upgrade. So, the minimal or the most basic, let me put it, the most basic qualification is salvation. And we all have it in common. So there's no difference in the quality of salvation that individual received. Revelation and practical obedience and grace make the difference between spiritual dwarf and spiritual giants. So when you find a spiritual giant, okay, and you find another person who is also expected to have grown and refused to grow and remain a dwarf, he may not have a problem of salvation. He may have a problem of revelation and of obedience to the word of God. Titus 1:4. Apostle Paul still writing. He said to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. How did he describe the faith? Common faith. So that word common there does not mean ordinary or trivial. That word common means what you have is what I have. It's general, it's universal. Are we together? Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. In Jude 1:3, Jude also writes, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Is this special salvation? There's no special salvation anywhere. Hello? Whether you are saved as a murderer or you are saved as a moralist. You know, there are some people who are moralists. Like the young rich ruler who came to Jesus and said, what do I do to be saved? And Jesus said, there is the law that says, don't do this, don't do that. And he said, all this I have been observing from my youth. That's a moralist. Are we together? So, such persons with his moral can still not access the kingdom of God except he receives salvation from Jesus. Are we together? But then, another person has been a murderer, like the thief that was crucified with Jesus. Okay? And Jesus said, today, by virtue of your confession, you will be with me in paradise. Both a moralist and a murderer, when they come to Christ, they receive the same quality of salvation, common salvation. Whether you are a moralist or you are a murderer and you come to Christ, the salvation is equal in measure, equal in standard, equal in status, equal in quality. Hello. So let nobody say, I have sinned so much and God can no longer pardon me. And let nobody say, I am so perfect, morally upright, okay, that I will not need salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you were earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He now said to them, yes, the salvation is common, but the saints, okay, have attained a level that we all must contend for. And to contend for it, what we need is revelation. What do I say we need? So, the light of salvation is common, but it is not so with the light of revelation. We must labor individually in the word of God. Labor individually what? In the word of God. Labor in prayer. Labor in fellowship with the Holy Spirit to grow in the knowledge of Christ. That is how to access the light of revelation. So, but for salvation, it can be so exciting to the degree that one may think it is the end of the road. Think about Igbala. That's what is called what? The joy of salvation. It can be so exciting, okay, that after you have received it, you will just stay there, you will think that is the end of the road. Many people that encounter Jesus, okay, I came to Jesus, they always want to stay with Jesus. Jesus will not say, no, don't stay with me. Go. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? So, salvation can be so exciting to the degree that one may think it's the end of the road. But I put it straight to you and I want you to hear me loud and clear that salvation is not the end of the road. It is the beginning of the race. Salvation is not the end of the road. It is what? The beginning of the race. And that's why in verse 15, having recognized that the people of Ephesus, the believers in Ephesus were already saved. They were saints. They were faithful. From verse 15, Apostle Paul says, wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. And he now mentioned the prayer point, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Say, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Now, why will that be necessary? Don't forget, we are continuing the light of destiny fulfillment. Say, I have a destiny in Christ. I have an assignment to fulfill. So, Christ's kingdom is a kingdom full of responsibility. For all citizens in his kingdom, Christ has an assignment. So, sitting down as a liability on others is strength to the standard, is strength to the culture of Christ's kingdom. You just come to Christ and you just sit down and you are a liability on others. It's strength to the standard and to the culture of Christ's kingdom. And you will notice that when he called the disciples, he made it very clear what assignment he has for them. To be fishers of men. And when he wanted to leave them, he told them to occupy till he comes. So the kingdom of Christ is a kingdom full of what? Responsibility. Somebody say, I have a responsibility. I am not a liability. I will not fail my responsibility. But until you receive your life, you will sit down to be served. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for thy light has come. So until you receive your light, you will sit down to be served. You will not arise to your peculiar destiny duty over others. So when we talk about the Christian race, okay, I'm still pointing you to Isaiah 61. He said, for thy light has come. It's a personified word, light. So the Christian race is an individual race. Yes, you are running alongside others. But know this and know it very seriously, that you are ultimately responsible for how you run your own race. We are not going to render joint account before God. we are going to render individual account. Hello? There's nothing like rendering joint accounts before God. We will all render individual account. So, ijo Olorun ise bi ti yan ti ma wo ago alago sise. Ereje igbagbo, eh? Yes, gbogbo wa la nsa ere, sugbon oni kaloku ni le nti e. So, until you understand the personal responsibility dimension of the new life, you cannot make much progress in your Christian race. So, to now help you to run the race very well, you need to understand and operate by the following lights. I'll give you insight into about four or five lights that you need to operate by. The light of revelation that you need to operate by. One, the light of how to carry your cross and not wait on anyone to help you carry it. So you must come to that level of understanding. When we're talking about revelation, we are talking about understanding. So you need that light. You need that understanding. You need that insight. You need that revelation. Let it be very clear to you that in this kingdom, you have to carry your cross and not wait on anyone to help you carry it. You have to hone your own lamp and have your own oil. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And still Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You don't say, because somebody is not following again, I will also stop following. You don't say, because one highly respected pastor backslided, okay, therefore you also give up on your faith. You don't do that. Are we together? The pastors today are even discouraging us. The pastor will stand before God and give account of his life. You will also give your own individual account. So, the worthy work of your parent or of your pastor cannot be credited to your personal account. The worthy work of your parents, the worthy work of your pastor will not be credited to your own personal account. You have that personal responsibility to similarly work worthy. Hello? That you are attending the church of a pastor that is preaching holiness will not make you holy, except you consciously apply yourself to live the holy life. Am I talking to somebody? So, don't delegate your worship of God. Worship God by yourself. When we come together for fellowship, we all have our individual worship space. Yes, we don't neglect worshiping together, fellowshipping together. Okay? The only thing we have in common is fellowship. Okay? The worship is different. So, we all have our individual worship space. So, it is fellowship that is common. Worship is not a group assignment. Worship is not what? A group assignment. We fellowship together as a group, but worship is individual. The time is now when the true worshipers of God will worship God in spirit and in truth. So if you are in the group and you are not in the spirit, okay, you are out of the worship. You are only in fellowship. Am I talking to somebody? So God will score us individually, not collectively. So your concentration is part of the worship. Your consecrated heart is part of the worship. Your attitude is part of the worship. Your singing is part of the worship. Are we together?
Your giving is part of the worship.
Take for instance, if you had the capacity to give 1,000 naira as offering or a special donation, and you give 1,000 naira. I mean, if you have the capacity to give maybe 100,000 naira, and you give 1,000 because that's what everybody is giving, you should not be surprised when God bless the person whose optimal capacity is just 100 naira more than you. Hello? You have the capacity to give 100,000. Okay? But you gave 1,000 because you looked around and you saw that everybody is giving 1,000 naira. And then the reward came and you discover that the person who gave 100 naira is now more blessed than all of you. You gave 1,000 naira, including you. Are we together? Now, it is because you have surchanged yourself with group mentality. It's part of the error in the church today. Group what? Mentality. Even in the area of singing, you look around, you say, I can't sing like this sister, and you keep quiet. A brother who sings like frog with his whole being from his heart will be more blessed than a sister with a melodious angelic voice who sings half-heartedly. You have an angelic voice, but you are singing half-heartedly. As you are saying, Hallowed be your name. So is your mind drifting to your pot of soup. And yes, sometimes they say, Hallowed be your name. Start from key K and end up on key Z. Praise the name of, but the whole of his being is in it. So such a person can be more blessed because the worship is assessed according to the state of your heart. Okay? But you are counted among the fellowship, and we are saying, we thank God today. 1,500 people attend worship. The second light that is very important for you to receive is that light of how to accept personal responsibility for your shortcoming and correct them. The first is accept personal responsibility for your worship. Now, accept personal responsibility for your shortcoming and correct them. You see, we are living in a generation that take what everybody is doing or what majority are doing as the standard of God. Are we together? So we determine what is acceptable, okay, by what the majority is doing. Then don't act like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, who were sifting blame around to exonerate themselves. You know, Satan entered the garden, deceived Eve. Eve brought, draw Adam into it. And then God came and said, come and give account. And the man was saying, it's the woman. The woman was saying, it's the devil. At the end of the day, none of them escaped punishment. You are admonished not to be a stumbling block to another brother. Okay? But that somebody is a stumbling block to you will not exonerate you on the day of judgment. Are we together? So accept personal responsibility for your shortcoming and correct them. Number what? The light of how to undertake your stewardship with a sense of personal accountability to God. Undertake your stewardship, that is your assignment to God, your responsibility in the things of God. accept it with a sense of personal accountability to God. Yes, we are worshiping in Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church. We are workers in Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church. Okay, you know there are assignments you do in school as students. Okay, whereby they say this one is a group assignment. And whatever is called the group is the mark that everybody score. Are we together? So there is no group score for deeper life. Another group score for Baptist. Another group score for Oasis. Another group score for CNS. Another group score for Anglicans. Another group score, mention them. CAC, mention them. Deeper Life, I've mentioned that. The Apostolic Church. COSA. There's no First Choir. There's no group score. Hello. So on the day of judgment, okay, they will not say, okay, oh, this is the much evangelism that has been credited to Deeper Life. So therefore, all Deeper Life members, come to this side. Your group have done very well. Enter into the kingdom of God. Are we together? Oh, this is the much teaching. Okay? That has been done very effectively in Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church. Therefore, all of you that have partook in the ministry of Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, come on this side, on the account of the messages that has gone out from Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church pulpit. Okay? Crown of glory for every one of you. Come and take it. There's no group score. There is individual what? Score. Individual what? Score. So, take or undertake your stewardship with a sense of personal accountability to God. Hallelujah. So, if the credit that should come to me is just the delivery of the message, God will mark me for that and score me for that and reward me accordingly. Okay? But the prayer that made the teaching effective, if it's somebody else that is doing the prayer, are we together? God will say, okay, oh, you are the one that is responsible for this. Take it. Praise the name of the Lord. Then, make it the message available for everybody to have it online. Okay? Somebody else is spending his time and spending his data and sharing the messages and inviting people to come and follow and so on and so forth. God will say, the message will have just been preached at a village in Kwara State and end there. But this is the person that put it on the global stage. And that person will also take that what? Reward. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, after preaching the message, the man of God is so exhausted that he will almost collapse. But somebody will make sure that there are packs of table water. Okay? That the man of God will go up after preaching the message. Okay? That one also go into that person's individual account. Are we together? So there's nothing called group score. When it comes to accountability of our stewardship before God, it takes a lot of revelation to understand that. And when you understand that, okay, you stick to your responsibility and you do it without looking at what any other person is doing. So there's no issue of a pastor is discouraging me, unit leader is discouraging me, our unit members are not moving, and so I also stay back. You don't do that. Am I talking to somebody? 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Is it a group thing here? Number 4, where we're going to be drawing the curtain today to continue next Sunday. The light of how to cooperate with God and other believers as joint heirs with God. Now, that I have told you about that it is individual does not mean you must be individualistic. You must have the spirit of a team worker. The spirit of what? A team worker. So you need also the light of how to cooperate with God and cooperate with other believers as joint heirs with God, with the understanding that your individual contribution is important, but it is not indispensable. Your individual contribution is important, but it is not indispensable. Aye, afemi, afemi, osini no sheoluwa. Ba orio, aope, elomina. Nobody can hold God into ransom. Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, the body is healthy when the individual organs of the body is functioning properly, not riotously. Hello? Are we together? So, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. If you read from the preceding verses, from whom implied that Jesus Christ is the from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. So there is something you must be bringing to the table. Hello? Say, I must bring something to the table. That's the way God wants us to function. That's revelation by which we can function and be effective in the things of God. So you must be bringing something to the table. I remember when we were in those days when we were in the college, there is this brother. I won't mention his name because he always watched me online nowadays. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, in the hostel, when we cook, okay, you can't eat your food alone. Your friends will always come around to eat with you. But there's this particular friend. Every time he comes, okay, and you are saying, okay, and I don't have two spoons. Let me look for a spoon for you. He will just dip his hand inside his pocket and say, I have one here. He was always going around to eat with friends. The funniest side of it is that he doesn't cook always. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's not the type that always brings something to the table. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, God is saying here that a healthy church, a healthy body of Christ, is where every joint is supplying something. Tell your neighbor, supply something. And compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So, what we are going to be supplying may not be in the same quantity. So, according to the measure of every part. But there is a situation whereby you are not supplying anything is not allowed. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, how to have a healthy body of Christ is that everybody is supplying something. Now, to come to that level, to know what am I to supply, you need your own light and not another man's light to fulfill your divine mandate. You need your own light. Said, arise, shine. For thy light has come. Will you rise on your feet and say, Father, show me the light that will make me to know, okay, what I am saved to achieve in the kingdom. What I am saved to contribute to the kingdom. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. We are talking about the light of destiny fulfillment. And the focus for today is that you have a place in the eternal purpose of God. You need your own light to arise and shine. Not a cooperative light, not a group light. The light that will shine to you, and you will be able to say, this is my kingdom assignment. This is my kingdom purpose. This is my life assignment. Ask God to give you the light. Ask God to send the light. Thank you, Lord, for answer prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.